Well, good morning. It's my turn to kind of get out of order, right? So I wanted to start off by saying thank you for your support of the Ministry of Capital District Youth for Christ that I still serve with. Your financial support, your prayers, your involvement with us over the years is just an incredible blessing. I've been on staff now for 35 years, and just things have changed in our culture, but the gospel has not changed, and that's what we stand on. For those of you that maybe are new to the church and you haven't really heard about Youth for Christ yet, we're an international organization. We have a local chapter. Our main office locally is up in Clifton Park, and our main office is over in Colorado. And just our whole goal is to share the gospel with middle school and high school students that don't know Jesus. Kids that are outside of families that are not going to church, they're not being raised as believers. And that's our heartbeat. That's the kids that we're trying to reach. We have kids that do come from churches and have some sort of background. But by and large, YFC is trying to reach kids that don't know him and are not growing up in families that are bringing them to church. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, I'll just read verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." And we love that verse. I remember when I was in the trenches more, working out here in Rensselaer County, working with high school and middle school kids directly, multiple times during the year on our weekly club nights, we would use that scripture of helping kids see that there is new life available to them in Christ, and that the old is gone and the new is come, and God calls us to a different way of living. And we still share that message. We have a ministry up in Clifton Park called Campus Life. It's where we usually have suburban or rural communities. And we had 30 kids come out last week. Our numbers have grown a lot since COVID. At one point, we had zero. Just a few years ago, we had zero kids coming, and now we had 30 kids. And we have two new volunteers, and so we're really excited about that ministry and that growth. And our director there, Alexis, she had her first child, a little baby boy, back in December, supposed to be January. They were thinking that the baby would be born with a lot of health issues and weren't even sure if the baby would survive. And baby's completely healthy, blew the doctors away. But that's been a transition for us there in Clifton Park. In Schenectady, our staff member, Arthur, his wife just had their first child back in February. And so our staff has changed quite a bit in the situations. And we're praying for female volunteers. Our staff member, his wife, has been volunteering, but her time is a little bit limited at the moment with a newborn at home. And in Albany, our site director, Amanda, she got married just a little over a year ago and has gone through two surgeries since then. And so she's just healing from surgery on her back and her ankle. And then Cahoes, I've been helping out while our staff person's been on sabbatical this month or in April and through the rest of this May. And he's having back issues. And so we've had a lot of different, you know, great things, new birth, new life, and from staff having babies, and also just a lot of surgeries and just different challenges. So it's been a weird year for us, but we still see God moving. My first week kind of being in charge, the volunteers are really running the show, I'm just there as backup. They were playing a game of, they call it death ball, which sounds horrible, but it's a keep away game. And one of the kids had a sweatshirt on with the pocket in the front. And he and one of the volunteers reached for the ball and a knife came out. It was a steak knife. And because the young man, he carries a knife with him because he doesn't feel safe. He's in sixth grade. He's been picked on a lot. The cops have been called to their house so many times. And he is just an habitual liar. He makes up stories left and right because he's trying to prove himself to the kids in the neighborhood where he's grown up. And he got expelled. He's at a school in Niskayuna because he got expelled out of Cahoes, sixth grade. And so I had it. So my first night as the head guy, I had to call his mom, who I've never met, and say, "Hey, we had to take a knife off your son." And he was fine with it. He's like, "Oh yeah, I forgot I had it." And she's like, "Not again. He took one of my steak knives again." So he doesn't have the steak knife now, neither does the mom. I have it hidden until we can get it back to her. But these are the type of kids that we're dealing with. This past Thursday, when I was talking to him, learning a little bit more of his story, I didn't realize he had been expelled from the school. The girl that he was talking to, she's, I think, a junior. She's been moved around, living with different family members. She's back with her mom now, but they're up in Boston Spa, where she's back in school. She was expelled as well. But she's working at a nursing home there in the kitchen, and she loves it. She goes, "The pay's horrible, but I don't do it for the pay." She has given her life over to Jesus, but it's been a rocky road for her. But it was interesting that these one sixth grader and then this older high school student, both having some similar backgrounds in their different struggles, where one has said yes to Jesus and the young man who's in sixth grade has not made that commitment yet. But he's showing up almost every week. He's involved, he's respectful, and we're trusting that God is working in their lives. So just continue to ask that you would pray for us. We believe greatly in prayer. We'd be praying for God to send us more adult volunteers to work with us with the kids. Every single ministry site could use more volunteers. We're also, money's been tight this year, more so than any other year. A lot of organizations, ministries, households have faced this. But I ask that you would pray that God would lay it on more churches and more individuals to give directly to our ministry. And that would be two great things to pray for, volunteers and financial support. Last year when I was here, I asked for personal hygiene products for our trips that we do with kids over the summer and throughout the year. And you guys were so generous with that. And this church and one or two other churches that I spoke at, just, we've got so much stuff. It's amazing. And so this year we don't need product, but we do need scholarship money. We charge $350 for our high school trip down to Wildwood, New Jersey. But that's a percentage of what it costs for between transportation, staffing, the motel and food. A lot of these kids don't have the money for the food. And so if you could also be praying and considering, maybe there's a donation that you could give in you know, money instead of in product this year to help us defray the cost to get kids, our high school kids down to Wildwood, New Jersey. And then in August, we take middle school kids camping at Moreau State Park. And so just in some incredible times to get away with the kids. And another opportunity where we are with them for about 4 days, 5 days, four nights, where they're not going home at night and dealing with that, but we have them for an extended period of time where we're able to pour into them and for them to hear the gospel and not have it like kind of dissipate when they go back home and hear other things. They're with us for a strong amount of days. And so just would appreciate your prayers for that. And again, thank you for your faithfulness to the Ministry of Youth for Christ. We could not do that without you, and thank you for your partnership. So for the sermon this morning, I entitled it "Is a Way to Pray." And before we look at the scripture, I wanted to ask you, have you ever played Would You Rather? We do this a lot with the kids, and we would make a statement of two different things. Would you rather this or would you rather that? And we would have, if you chose the first one, you would go to this side of the room. And then if you chose the other one, you would go to that side of the room. I'm not going to ask you to get up and move. All right? If you do it, it's on your own, all right? But so here's what I want you to think about. Would you rather own a cat or would you rather own a dog?
A goat.
A goat? That's not one of my options, sorry. You're like one of the kids in the ministry. You just want to change it up. Yeah, not going there. Would you rather stay up late or go to bed early?
Go to bed early,
yeah. The younger kids that we work with, they always want to stay up late. I used to tell my mom, her punishment was that she had to stay up late. Like she would tell us, you behave or you go to bed early. And we would say, well, you behave or you go to bed late. Would you rather have Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting this feedback. This is great. Would you rather eat the same thing every day or never eat the same thing twice? It's a tougher one, right? Would you rather go to the ocean or go to the mountains? Would you rather never need help or always need help?
We always need help.
And then the last one is, would you rather pray or do anything else? That's the right answer, right? Sermons on prayer, we're in church, we have to say prayer. I have found that there's a lot of different people that have a lot of different attitudes when it comes to prayer. My wife and I are looking for a new used car for her. And we had a dealer in the back seat of the HRV that we were trying out. And he's like, you can go faster because I got a hold of the, I'm not going to say what he called the handle. And we said, well, we call that the Jesus handle. And he said, I don't do like small stuff. I don't pray about the small stuff. I wait for the big stuff. I figure he's got enough on his mind. People have a different idea of what it means to pray. For a lot of people, I've found a prayer is literally a to-do list for God. They just have, these are my demands. This is what you have to do. And if you don't come through the way I want, when I want, then maybe you're not such a good God after all, right? A prayer is just a to-do list. God, do this, do that. Not that he doesn't want us to come to him with our needs, but their attitude is, you must perform for me, and you must do it my way. Other people, kind of like the guy at the dealership, it's more of like a last option. It's, I will do everything I can, but I will only pray when I'm completely desperate. For others, I've heard people say, prayer, it's too passive. I need to be doing something. Prayer's just saying words. It's just too passive. That's me. I'm an action-oriented person. And then there's others that they say, I pray because I know I'm dependent on God. And that's where my help comes from. And that's what prayer is for me. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. Verses 9 through 13, and I'm reading out of the ESV version, English Standard Version, this morning. In chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and the disciples have come to Jesus, and they're asking him to say, to teach us to pray. 9 through 13, chapter 6, 9 through 13. See, I'm also like, what are my notes saying? Must be the pulpit. I don't know.
You don't have my spot.
I'm not as old, but I'm getting there every day. So, first, picking up at verse 9 of chapter 6 in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, so the disciples had come and asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and he says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer. Very familiar to those of us that have grown up in the church. I know growing up in the church that I attended, we said the Lord's Prayer every single week. And it was challenging because it was so familiar that I didn't always pay attention to what we were saying as we would do it in unison. There is a skit that was developed of someone who goes to pray the Lord's Prayer and God answers. And there's a dialogue that goes back and forth. And if you YouTubed it, you would find it. And there's different versions of it. And I was re-watching some of those different versions of it. And a lot of it I liked. Sometimes how they interpreted the prayer, I wasn't really too excited about. But the thrust is the person's praying and he says, our Father. Yes. Like we're not expecting a response. And it just kind of walks through each part of the Lord's Prayer, of that, who are we actually praying to? We're praying to our Creator God, the one who sent his Son to die for us and raised him back to life to defeat death and sin. And hallowed is holy, revered is your name, right? We don't take God's name lightly. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We're saying, let your will be evident in my life. Not what I want, but what you want. How things are in heaven, let that be here on earth, and let that begin with how I'm living. Right? And then it says, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us. Provide for our daily needs. And in the video, it always makes fun of the person's waistline. Like, oh, you better hold off on the bread. And I always cringe because that's not the point. The point isn't saying you need to watch what you eat. It's saying, give us this day what we need. Provide for us, Lord, trusting and knowing that you are the provider, right? Yeah, I might have money in my pocket. I might have a credit card where I haven't maxed out the balance. All these days, I might have a checking account that's really healthy and I can write a check. But everything comes from the Lord, right? He's entrusting us with these things. The food in the restaurant or the food in the grocery store and the food in our home, that all came from God, right? Give us this day our daily bread. In our YFC staff, we're reading through a book on prayer, and with the church, we're reading a different book on prayer. I just can't get away from prayer. And I can never remember which book I read this in. But it talked about how sometimes we can pray for the big things, but when it comes to our daily needs, like the dealer, I don't pray for parking spots. I don't pray for taking a turn too fast. You know, that's minor stuff. But God wants us to go to him daily. He says, give us what we need, not what I want. Because I get confused sometimes. My want sometimes feels like I need this, but it's really a want. Give us what we need. And then forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Forgive us like we forgive. Imagine if God only forgave us the way we forgive others. That's a little sobering, because I don't know about you, sometimes I'm a little slow to really forgive. We know that God will forgive regardless of our action. But he's saying, you want to be forgiven. Be free to forgive. So he asks us to pray that way. And if I'm honest, this next line always kind of bothers me. And lead us not into temptation. Why would God lead us into temptation? And I used to always go, I don't understand. Why am I asking God not to lead me into sin? Right? That's not God's will. So why am I praying that? Why is that? And I think I, for a long time, misunderstood. And lead us, right, not into temptation, but lead us into righteousness. We know God's heart. We know his desires that we would do his will and live a righteous life. So we're reminding ourselves that it's us that leads us into sin. It's my own desires that leads me into sin. God never does. Lead me away. Help me, because on my own, I will choose the wrong thing. I will choose the wrong way. So it's recognizing my need to say, Lord, and lead me away from those temptations. Lead me away from sin and the evil one. It's a reminder of how to pray, different ways to saying, this is who we're going to. This is our Father in heaven. He loves us. He desires to take care of us. Even when it's tough, he desires that, and he wants our hearts so much more than he wants us to have an easy life. Right? That easy life comes when we're in heaven with him. That's when our reward, that's when our rest comes. On this earth, we will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. So we know what a healthy attitude towards prayer. We see this example of a way to pray in this gospel. But what are some of the challenges that we find in prayer? Have you struggled sometimes to know what to say? I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know enough of the situation. That seems too big or too small. Or I heard someone needs help, but I don't know what to pray. And so sometimes that stops us because we're not sure what are the right words. I think in the opposite, sometimes we don't pray because we have a hard time listening. I'm not going to pray because I'm not ready to listen, Lord. I just want you to do what I want, and I don't want to take the time to hear your voice. And if I stop and I really talk with you, you're going to talk to me. And I don't know if I want to listen. For some, I just say the same thing over and over. And oh, I got my list, and it's the same list every day, and I just get bored with it. Ever get bored with your list? Sometimes I'm like, oh man, I'm just kind of going through the list, and it just feels repetitive, and just what difference does it make? Sometimes I get distracted. You start praying, and then you're thinking about other things, and you realize you're not praying anymore. You're doing your own to-do list. I like to pray at night and in morning when I'm laying in bed. I pray throughout the day too, but it helps me fall asleep. And I realize, oh, I have fallen asleep. I'm not praying. I'm sleeping. Not a bad thing. Wake up early in the morning, and I'm like, oh Lord, I can't get out of bed, but I'm awake. I guess I'll pray, and then I fall asleep again. Or just my mind just gets distracted. I start thinking about my day or what the day has been or what the next day is going to hold. And I realize I'm not really talking with God. I'm just thinking, just processing. And God's not really a factor. It can be a challenge sometimes to stay focused. And kind of like when I don't want to listen, I don't want a godly outcome. I just want God to take me out of the pain. I want the situation to be different, or we run into people and say, I just want this. And for some people, I think their sin is hard in their heart, and they don't really want God to move in them. They just want God to do for them. It doesn't matter if it's righteous or not. And so they have a hard time praying because they don't understand prayer. Sometimes it's our hurts and our disappointments in life, right? We've experienced loss. We've experienced grief, disappointment. Someone has said something. Someone has done something. And I'm too hurt and I'm too angry to want to pray. So there's a lot of different things I think that our own sinful nature and the attacks of Satan trying to get us to misunderstand why we pray. And what is prayer? But it's conversation with God. I think that simple definition helps us remember what prayer is and why we pray. Because God desires our hearts. God changes us when we pray. Now, my wife and I, we've been married for 30 years, celebrated on, this past Saturday, not this Saturday, but the Saturday before, because I had to work on the 30th, it was our 30th anniversary. And over 30 years, can you believe we have never had a disagreement? Because we haven't. You shouldn't believe that. We have had disagreements. We've had situations where I actually can get on her nerves, believe it or not. I think only once she's gotten on my nerve. That's not true either. We're sinners. We're not perfect. We mess up. And there are times when I've gone into a different room and I'm like, Lord, you've got to change her. She just doesn't understand me. I am totally in the right. Help me. Help me know how to fix her. And then God says, you're not perfect. Your attitude, your tone was wrong. You weren't sensitive. You're not taking time to understand where she's coming from. You just want to say your piece and you don't want to listen. God changes us. God has never gone, okay, and this is how I want you to fix your wife. It's always been, this is how I want to fix you. This is how I want to heal you. I want you to exhibit understanding, patience, kindness, love. I don't care what she has done or hasn't done. It's about how you treat her. And I'm like, all right, Lord. It's not what I wanted, but you're right. It's prayer changes us. And sometimes, I'll admit, sometimes it changes circumstances, right? We're saying, Lord, we need this, and then the need is provided for. We're asking God to change someone because we know the way they're going isn't working, and then they come to Christ, or they change their behavior. They change an attitude. They change their opinion is different. Circumstances do change at times, but it's not automatic. At least that's been my experience as I've read Scripture. The circumstances don't always go from horrible to better. Sometimes they go from horrible to worse before they get better, right? There's lots of examples in Scripture of prayers of the people in the Bible. Paul's letters filled with prayers that he prayed for the churches. In the Psalms, just tons of prayers of praise and thanksgiving and crying out to God. The prophet Samuel, we have recorded his prayers. Daniel, we have his prayers. And then Jesus' prayers in the Gospels. God wants us to talk with him. He wants to commune with us. He wants our hearts. So in Matthew chapter 6, there was a way to pray. It's not the only way. A lot of people say, this is the only words I can pray. I've heard people say that. I don't think Jesus was saying, you only pray using these words, but it's a model. It's to help you kind of put your prayers. Not that if you get the order off, right? It's not if I have to do this one, then this one, then this one, and this will be the result, or I prayed well. You prayed well when you talked with God, right? Whether it's silently or praying out loud, right? Sometimes we don't want to pray out loud because we don't know what to say or we're conscious of our words. Don't let that stop you. There's beauty in hearing others pray, hearing yourself pray. There's beauty in that. God uses that. But I want to give you another way to maybe order your prayers, to help guide your prayers. And I got this from a guy named Dan Webster in an online article, the Authentic Leadership, and he had in there, and he called it A Way to Pray. I stole it from him. And he starts off with Psalm 77, verse 11. And it says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. And it's remembering yesterday's highlights, he calls it. Remembering the past of what God has been doing. To get us into, let's be thankful. Let's be grateful what God has done in the past for us. Remembering who he is and what he has done. Not just for us, but for the entire world. And then in Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will have mercy. So the first thing is remembering yesterday's highlights. And the second one, clearing my conscience, going to God and saying, forgive me. Show me where I am off base. Help me to repent of that idea, that thought, that behavior. Create in me a clean heart. Psalm 111, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. God wants us to spend time saying thanks. Kind of ties back into the highlights of the past, but it's thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for Sand Lake Baptist Church. Thank you for those that I get to fellowship with and worship you with. Thank you for the resources you have provided. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for food on my table. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Right? We can thank God for so many different things. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your cares or your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. Lord, I need your help with. I love this person, but they're on my last nerve. I need your help with. I need to respond differently. I need not to let it bother me. I need to know how to love them well, how to help them. Lord, I need help because I'm struggling with this. I have this anxiety. I have this concern. I have this health need. Lord, I need your help with. And the last part from John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And his last one was, Lord, do you have anything to say? What do you have to say to me, Lord? I've been doing all the talking so far. I need to not talk and just listen. So another way to pray, not the Lord's Prayer, but it's a different formula in a sense. Not because, again, not because if we say, oh, this is the formula and then I get what I want, unless what you want is Jesus. If you want that intimacy with the Father through the Son, to be filled with the Spirit, we're asking God to indwell within us, to equip us, to empower us, to give us his joy, for him to give us his peace, in his strength, in his hope, in his forgiveness, in his love. That's what we're asking for. Will you pray with me this closing prayer from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.